Yeah, in Pennsylvania, the last mountain lion was killed via hunting.
Wow.
And it's actually taxidermied and displayed at Penn State.
Really?
Yes.
That's an interesting flex, Penn State. Very interesting. Wow-wee.
Hello, and welcome back to The Food Fix, the show where we talk to all kinds of folks about innovative ways to better feed the world. This week, we're going to...
Are you?
I'm Cassidy Huff.
No, you're not.
Yeah, yes,
show.
I am.
Did you not see my name? Who are you? What are you doing here, man?
I'm.
Get up.
Are you?
Get
are
up.
No, 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 ma'am. Are you really Cassidy Huff?
Yeah, I'm Cassidy.
I'm a huge fan.
I don't care. Line up with the rest of them outside. Okay. Get out. Go. Okay. Go. Out of here.
Guys, I've been wanting to do that since I started doing this show. I'm with my friend Maeve today, though, so I knew I had to capitalize on this fun little opportunity. So welcome back to The Food Fix again. Thank you, Maeve, for the intro. You killed it. You're a natural. Let's just jump into it. Maeve, tell us who you are. You're not me. Who are you?
So my name is Maeve Denshaw. I'm a senior here at MSU. And I'm a psychology major. I'm 22 years old, and today I am going to be talking about hunting.
Heck yeah. Maeve is also the president of Michigan State University's Outdoors Club, which is...
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah, it's the biggest club on campus, right, still?
Yes, yes, yeah. It is the biggest official club on campus.
Yes, quite an accomplishment. I just would like to mention that, because Maeve knows what she's talking about when it comes to outdoor things. So we're talking about hunting this week, because if you are going to eat meat, hunting is actually one of the most sustainable ways to do that. And if you're thinking, what, how, then keep listening, because lovely guest Maeve is going to tell us how throughout the rest of the episode. Maeve, why don't you tell me, how long have you been hunting, and how did you get into it?
So I have been actually hunting, like me going out into the woods or the fields or whatever, for, I would say, total 3-4 years. I've gone a total of 5 times in my life. That being said, hunting has always been in my life in some ways, whether it's been being talked about or sharing meals from people who've gone hunting. So I come from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which a lot of people don't know this, but Pennsylvania actually has the highest density of hunters out of any state in the country. A lot of people I know hunt. I also like to consider myself an environmentalist, and I know that getting meat from nature, or at least hunting it, is, in if you do it correctly, can be very ethical. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the reason we're talking about this, because I know maybe listeners, you might be thinking, Cassidy, you yell about being vegan all the time, and now you're talking about killing and eating animals on your show. But the whole point of this episode is to let you guys know that hunting is actually, if you're going to eat meat, it's probably the most ethical way to do it.
One of them. Yeah, it's definitely one of them. There's a lot of ways to get creative when it comes to consuming animal products and meat, especially if you want to do it ethically.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm so excited I get to talk to you, because for those of you who are diehard meat eaters, maybe you should pick up hunting. So Maeve, when you do hunt, you've mentioned you have 5 times in your life. So what is the typical season for hunting, and when you hunt, what kinds of things are you hunting for?
So there are many different seasons for many different kinds of animals, and the types of hunting that you're going to be doing. The season that I hunt is deer season. I solely hunt deer, and there are a couple reasons why I do that. And the season that I go out is like late November, early December. I also only hunt in Pennsylvania because I am a Pennsylvania resident. I have the option to hunt Michigan, but I choose not to, just because Pennsylvania has such a huge problem with deer overpopulation.
So you mentioned the deer population being really high. Can you explain to listeners how, I mean, humans have essentially become an essential part of the ecosystem in that way? Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, no, definitely. So, I mean, especially here in America, there is this mindset that humans and nature are separate from one another. And that can cause some serious issues. At least it has caused some serious issues in the past, which have leached their way into modern ecosystems and modern life. And the reason why deer populations are truly out of control in Pennsylvania is because all of their natural predators have been wiped out. The last mountain lion was killed in Pennsylvania in, I believe, the late 1800s. Wolves have been gone about the same time as that. And they were some of the only animals that kept deer populations in control. Bear don't do that. Bear are actually mostly scavengers.
Wow. So the deer population has exploded in Pennsylvania.
Yes. And it has been detrimental to native plant species and animal species because they are absolutely decimating lower canopy and forest floor ecosystems.
Wow.
If you go into a modern Pennsylvania forest, a lot of the ground cover plant species that once thrived there have in some places completely disappeared because of deer. And that causes habitat loss for pollinators and other small animals, which are essential species. And in turn, it is contributing to ecosystem loss.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, that it's humans are the cause, we are the cause of this issue because we wiped out all their natural predators. But now, in turn, the deer themselves are unfortunately part of the problem, though it's not their fault.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's so you explained that really well. Thank you.
Thank you.
So yeah, humans are now like we have to hunt pretty much. We got ourselves into this problem. I guess we didn't get our. I mean, unless we killed the mountain lions. I don't know if you know
that. We did kill mountain lions. Yeah, in Pennsylvania, the last mountain lion was killed via hunting.
Wow.
And it's actually taxidermied and displayed at Penn State.
Really?
Yes.
That's an interesting flex, Penn State. Very interesting. Wowee. Okay, so we did literally kind of get ourselves into this problem, and now we're kind of filling the void that the mountain lions once filled. I feel like, is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, no. I mean, humans also, I mean, if we're going to get real for a second, have also always, you know, at least for the past couple hundred thousand, you know, so thousand years, played a role in deer control. Indigenous people, they were hunting deer. And, you know, when the colonizers came in, you know, my ancestors, honestly, came in and started, you know, putting out rules and laws, whatever, restricting indigenous people from hunting deer and eating the foods that they ate, this issue progressed. So it's also people controlling people that has led to this issue.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is so, I'm so glad you included that because I never would have even thought to ask, to ask something like that. That's such an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, backing up a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you enjoy hunting? What is it to you that compels you?
So enjoy for me is a It's an interesting word for me to use in this. It's not when I hunt, I enjoy it, but it's not like let's go kill the deer, you know,
right.
Like I'm not going out there, you know, like with a big smile on my face. Like today I'm going to go shoot a deer,
yeah,
you know,
right.
like no,
excited,
you know,
to end a life.
Yeah, no, no. Ooh, no, but you know, it's. What drives me to do it is a number of things, you know, as I've mentioned before, knowing that the action that I am taking, though it is a extreme action, and I am well aware that, you know, if I am successful in my action, I am taking a life of another animal, which is a very difficult and emotional thing to do. Knowing that the actions that I'm taking may help contribute to preserving the ecosystem that I love so much. I love the Appalachian ecosystem, lands, mountains, everything, the place that I grew up. I want it to be healthy and to be there for future generations. But yeah, knowing that I am contributing to something good, that is what drives me to do it. And also, if I'm being real, venison is pretty tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And though the process of it is process of getting it is pretty difficult, it's good. And I am a person who, you know, I will confidently say enjoys eating meat,
mm-hmm.
because it makes my body feel good, you yeah. know. It's not for everyone, you know, like you people who are vegan, I respect the heck out of you guys.
Yeah,
you know, being able to have that kind of, you know, discipline and, you know, control over the way you feed your body and give it health, you know.
Well,
yeah.
I will say, yeah. and this kind of, I will say, and this brings me back to a story. I went camping with Maeve a few months ago mm-hmm. up in northern Michigan, and we went fishing on this lake yes. that was very overpopulated. So a similar thing where the people we were staying with were like, please fish from this lake. And even if you don't want to keep them and eat them, just toss them to the side because it would be better for the pond mm-hmm. if you were to do that. So I was very timid, but I was like, you know what? I haven't fished since I was like 9, so I'm going to try it. So I go out there. I catch one fish. Immediately, I start crying, and I couldn't handle it. It was flopping around. I couldn't handle it. But for that reason, I didn't eat the fish later. We took mm-hmm. a ton back, and we cooked them up, everyone who we were camping with, and it was nice. It was like a whole, like, you know, it felt right, but... In my mind, I was like, since I can't handle like catching and killing the fish, I don't think I deserve to eat it. And that's mm-hmm. kind of like my mindset with veganism. Mm-hmm. So a lot of respect for hunters, because like you're going out there and you're doing the work, you know what you're doing when you're like killing this animal, and then you're eating it and you're not letting like its body go to waste, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, no.
So that's kind mm-hmm. of how in my mind I'm like, I almost don't deserve to eat meat because I can't handle what goes on beforehand. But, like, so many people do. So I ask you, all you meat eaters out there, would you cry when you catch a fish? Or are you, when you're killing a deer? And if the answer is yes, then maybe you shouldn't be eating meat. But that's just my hot take. But anyways, Maeve obviously caught a ton of fish and helped cook and eat them. And shout out Maeve. But anyways, so my next question was going to be, is hunting good for the environment? We've kind of covered that, I think, mm-hmm. unless you have anything else you want to add.
I mean, I'll throw in maybe a couple more things. So, you know, to get to the meat of it, so that was a good pun. I didn't even mean to do that.
Nice, nice.
Most, when people think of hunting, they don't think of people like me. You know, I am a queer young woman hunting. That is mm-hmm. not the demographic that
Oxymoron.
People. Yeah, it is. Not the demographic that people think of. And because of that, I think that it's people, you know, fellow environmentalists out there, you know, like me and Cass. I think it's very quick for people to, you know, be like, oh, you know, like. These people don't care about the environment. And honestly, some of them don't, I think, to a great mm-hmm. extent. I think some of them are, you know, they're those kind of people. But there was a time period where hunters, and it may be more modern, it may have been mostly in the past, gave a lot of money to help preserve certain lands and certain ecosystems. Mm. Partially because they just wanted to hunt on them, but mm-hmm. in turn, it was a chain reaction for some pretty good things when it came to conserving the lands that they were hunting on.
So you said the meat that you catch, the venison, which mm-hmm. is deer meat for people who may not know, mm-hmm. tastes really good. Mm-hmm. So do you always eat the meat of the animals that you hunt?
Always.
Okay.
Always.
And is that process like intense to process that meat?
So I am a lucky individual with my hunting, where let's start from the beginning. When you actually successfully get a deer or whatever you're hunting, you know, in my case, only deer, you immediately, if it's a direct kill, you know, like it just kind of passes away very fast, you go up to it and this is so TMI, disclaimer, we're going to get a little gory here, okay. you know, so trigger warning for people who may not like gore. You actually just get right into the guts right away and take it out. On site, you take out the intestines, the liver, the other things, you know, and because you don't want it to tear or start rotting when you're actually transporting the deer or when you're going to start, you know, processing the deer in the field. Because some people do that. And the reason why is you don't want the meat to become contaminated because then it's just a waste of life. Mm. You know, if you let that meat get contaminated, you won't be able to eat it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you don't want to do that. And There's also a thing that happens when you're hunting where, you know, sometimes maybe the deer won't pass away right away and they kind of run off a little. That can be very stressful for everyone, especially the animal. I've luckily never had that happen, and I really hope it never happens.
You're just that good.
I mean, maybe. But also, it's a very, like, stressful emotional thing when it happens, because you want to be able to find that deer, and there's actually services you can hire. It is a lot of money, and frankly I don't think I could afford to do it, where people with bloodhounds will go out and track down the deer that ran off on you. So you don't waste it,
because that's crazy.
Because people, I do think nowadays people are beginning to care more. It's less so about, you know, like, let's just go shoot the deer for fun, and more like, I want to actually consume this meat because this is a lot of money and this is a long process and I've worked hard for this and all these other things. But like I said, you know, you remove all the grossness. And then with me, at least, I actually take my deer to a processor. And I pay half the fee, and then my hunting buddy, who is my dad's best friend, his name is Greg Bump.
Shout out, Greg.
Love Greg. He's like my uncle. He pays for the other half of the fee, and whatever we get, we always split the meat. So it's a shared effort. So his family gets meat, my family gets meat.
That's so nice. So how much can you, like, I don't know if you can explain this in a way that we'll be able to understand, but how much meat are you getting from one deer?
So it's not a ton. It'll last me like probably a month total, like if you do it right. Typically what we get. Yeah. Did you have a question?
No, that's just crazy. Like a month. That you made it seem like it wasn't a lot, but like a month's worth of meat, that's like for most people like 3 or 4 trips to the grocery store's worth of meat that you were skipping out on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
And personally, I actually don't eat a lot of meat. I don't eat beef. Okay, disclaimer. Yeah. I do not eat beef, and I really try to avoid pork because of how bad for the environment they are. Mm-hmm. It drives me nuts. Yeah. But I wanted to eat red meat, so I started hunting. And I would say from one deer, you typically get, and these are parts of the deer, so, you know, maybe we look these up, or if you know what these are, cool, but you get about 2 back straps, which is, like, really good part. It's like filet mignon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then you get grounds, which is just, like, miscellaneous meat from the body. That's typically, like, hamburger material. Hmm. And then you get chucks, you get, which is, like, little pieces and stuff. So you get as much meat off of this animal as possible, and I believe the processor that I go to, you can request to have the hide.
And that's the butt, yes?
No, the hide is the actual the skin, like the yes.
I don't know why I thought it was the butt. Yeah, so it's the skin.
Yes, it's the skin. I actually have just kept these hides. My mom is a very crafty woman, so I think she's trying to figure out something to do with them. But we're not throwing it out. We try to keep as much of the animal as we possibly can.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so
that's awesome. And that's a good way to be. You know what, like, a locavore is? Have you heard of that term?
Yes, and I try very hard to be a locavore. Yeah. Very, very hard.
That's people who only eat food that's grown in, like, their state, I think, is usually, like, the boundaries are in, like, nearby them. And that would go for meat, too. That would go for, like, deer. Because the reason that meats are so unsustainable or so bad for the environment is mostly, like, all of the whole production line and shipping it across, shipping it from here to here to here to get to you. So just by getting your meat locally, that's, like, such a quick way to, like, cut down your, I guess, your emissions by a ton. Yeah. So that's, like, one of the main reasons that hunting is, like, so much better for the environment than going to the grocery store and getting some hamburgers.
Yes.
So anyways, so tell me a little bit about what it tastes like. What's venison taste like?
It's very good. It's a nice umami flavor.
Okay, I was talking about umami the other day. Can you describe? We couldn't land on a consensus of what exactly umami means. Can you describe it?
So it's I don't know how to describe it other than like a nutty, buttery, like warm taste in your mouth. Mm. You know, it's not salty. It's almost too dull to be salty.
Interesting.
It has a bit of sweetness in there too. No spice. But it's just a really good flavor.
Interesting.
And it's, I believe of Japanese origin, the word umami.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. I've never tried venison.
Mm-hmm. It's almost, you know, when I did eat beef, it's almost like beef, but I will say it's better.
Really?
It's richer. It's leaner. It's better for you. It's just really, really, really good. It has its own unique thing going on.
Dang. Heard it here first. Better than beef, people. Try it out. My last main point that we've definitely covered. Can you explain why hunting and eating your own locally sourced meat is more sustainable than buying meat at the store?
Oh, there's so many reasons. Like you mentioned before, cutting down on emissions, having a direct impact on your local ecosystem, not giving your coin to the big industries that are producing all of this meat and that are producing all these greenhouse gases and stuff. You know, like, I do believe in the idea of voting with your wallet. There are like a couple big industries in the world that are contributing the most to climate change, and it can be come very quick to become very cynical about that, you know, be like, oh, there is no hope. Well, I don't think that that should stop us from taking these direct individual actions, mm-hmm. you know, because at the end of the day, you know, it does come down to everyone. And I think that, you know, being able to say, you know, when you're eating the meat that you have gotten yourself and have that feeling in your heart of, you know, what I did was hard and, you know, honestly, I don't know how long I am going to continue doing this. This may be a brief chapter in my life, the mm-hmm. hunting chapter.
Do you feel you have kind of more of a respect for the meat that you're eating when it's something that you caught yourself? Is it a different feeling than eating like a burger that you get at the store?
Oh, yes. No. I'm very protective of this meat. really, though, like when you are the one who went out and got that meat and you had to do an action that is so hard, you know, taking another animal's life, you protect that meat. You respect that meat. You share it. Honestly, I only share that meat with people who I deeply care about mm-hmm. because I want it to be people who know would honor the life of that animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not just like, you know, throwing it around, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's a sacred resource.
That's
for
a
sure.
Good way to be, yeah. Mm-hmm. And with that, can you explain to the audience what Maeve's meat madness is?
Goodness.
I'm sorry, there was no way I wasn't gonna ask that.
No. Maeve's meat madness. Okay, so last year, disclaimer, this year was an unsuccessful hunting trip. I only go out once, didn't get one, and that is totally okay. But last year I did get one, and we have a group of pals here at MSU. We're all of us met in the Outdoors Club, actually. Shout out my club. and we all were like, you know, Maeve, you got venison, you know, like, and I was like, yeah, I got venison. And we were like, let's have a party where we cook some of that venison. And I was like, yeah, and we're gonna call it Maeve's Meat Madness.
I love it rolls right off the tongue. So if your name starts with the letter M, then you should definitely consider picking up hunting. So you can have your own, you know, Matt's Meat Madness, Mike's Meat Madness.
That could be you guys. Melissa's Meat Madness.
Melissa's Meat Madness. It could be you guys. Last thing, though. Mm-hmm. For anybody who wants to maybe is thinking about getting into hunting, how would you recommend they go about that?
So I would recommend doing a lot of research first, especially about your local ecosystem. See what animals, if there are any. Honestly, if there's nothing really needs to happen when it comes to animal control, which, like, honestly, nowadays, like, there's usually something. Honestly, you know, like, I can't stop you from hunting. If you want to go hunt, go hunt. But, like, in my opinion, there's really no need to, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I encourage people to eat as little meat as possible. But if you do want to get into hunting, definitely do your research, figure out what you're comfortable using to go hunting. I may take up archery, and that is another really great way to do it is archery. So try that out. Find people who are like-minded to you who go hunting, which unfortunately can be a challenge. But you know, when you look, you will find. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that is what I can recommend. Just doing a lot of research and knowing your comfort levels, you know, because when it comes to this, it's always important to step outside your comfort level, but making sure that, you know, you're not gonna like honestly traumatize yourself. Mm-hmm. Please don't do that, you know. like it's okay to know and to have your limits on what you can and can't do with that. Mm-hmm. No shame. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no shame.
Start with fishing, like me. And if you can handle a fish, then move up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then don't. Okay, well, thank you so much, Maeve. This was really great. I hope you guys got as much out of this as I did. Is there anything you want to add before I start to close out?
Just thanks for having me on here. And, you know, I encourage people to, you know, potentially look into this as a way to eat meat if you want to eat meat. Because at the end of the day, we're never going to get all people to not eat meat. But we can try that to get them to do it sustainably.
Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. is a great final statement. This is why I'm so grateful to have like so many knowledgeable friends, because I could have never talked about hunting like this. I've never done it. If you guys really liked this episode, I hope you did. Then please leave me a 5-star review on the podcast. Do it for Maeve too, please.
Yeehaw.
And thank you to the Freezer Bees for always rocking and being the music on this podcast. Thank you to the Night Center for employing me and letting me have cool guests on the show. And thank you to you guys for listening. Thanks for being great listeners. If you guys have anything you wanna learn about, shoot me an email at msufoodfix@gmail.com and we'll get talking about it. All right, that's all. I'll see you guys next week. Signing off, this is Maeve and Cassidy.
All right, peace out.
Peace out, bye.